بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد الحمد لله tonight is the 18th of March in the year 2024 and alhamdulillah we moved on to the 46th night that we're going through the exalted and dear life of the illustrious companion Sayyidina Amr ibn al-As radiyallahu anhu. So moving on to the next section entitled The Fateful Sixth Day of Raging Conflagration. So this is what is called in the books of history the Day of Raging Conflagration. The sixth day of battle dawned bright and clear. The stillness of the morning gave no indication of the utter devastation that was to follow. The Muslims, after a day's rest, i.e. the fifth, were now feeling more refreshed and were eager for battle. As the sun rose over the dim skyline, the commander of the Roman right European wing, the army of chains, Gregory, he rode forward, but this time from the center of the imperial army. So like I mentioned, the commander of the Muslim left was Yazid ibn Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu. His counterpart, the Roman right, the general there was Gregory. But this time he's come out of the center. He had come with the mission of killing the Muslim army commander in the hope that this would have a demoralizing effect on the Muslim rank and file. So he's giving them credit. They were brave people. So they were thinking, we need to take the commander out. So Gregory goes, I will attempt it. It is related. As he drew near the Muslim center, he roared a challenge saying, nobody but the commander of the Arabs. Recorded by Hafiz Waqidi Rahmatullah Alayh in his Futuh al-Sham, page 153. So Gregory called out, only the commander of the Arabs. I'm ready to duel. Sayyidina Khalid radiyallahu thereupon with a wry smile was about to go forth when the blessed arm of Sayyidina Abu Ubaidah radiyallahu suddenly came across his chest. So Khalid, look how interesting. The first day, it was Juraj. He came out and it was the auspicious converting of Islam that the proceedings started taking place in Yarmouk. This is the sixth and final day. Another general's come out, but this time to fight. So Khalid, obviously, he thought, fantastic, take out the general and we'll proceed with the proceedings. But suddenly, Abu Ubaidah's arm came across his chest. Sayyidina Abu Ubaidah ibn al-Jarrah, radiyallahu, thereupon prepared to go forth. The sword of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and others, radiyallahu ta'ala, they tried to dissuade him, for Gregory had the reputation of being a powerful fighter, and he looked it too. All felt it would be better if the sword of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent out in response to the challenge. But Abu Ubaidah radiallahu anhu was adamant. So why was Abu Ubaidah wanting to engage with Gregory? Because he called out, none but the commander of the Arabs. So he's the Amin of this Ummah. You know, he's not going to twist the words or... But you could have argued Khalid was in command of the battle. But Abu Ubaidah goes, no. And even though they tried to dissuade him, he still goes, I'm going to engage with him. He thereupon gave the army standard to Khalid radiallahu with the instruction, if I do not return, you shall command the army entirely until the Khalif decides the matter. Recorded by Hafiz Waqidi Rahmatullah Alayh, it is Futuh al-Sham, page 153. So that was the instruction. Because if I am blessed with martyrdom, you will then be the commander, full stop, until Hazrat Umar decides. Sayyidina Abu Ubaidah radiyallahu thereupon rode out to meet the challenge with the other corps commanders now looking on anxiously. So now what's interesting, it's a huge plane. So could all see the Jew? And the answer is no. But the fact that many of the eminent commanders could see what was taking place was showing again the gravity of that day, of that time. The two generals thus met on horseback. They didn't get off. They drew their swords and they began dueling on horseback. Both were splendid swordsmen and treated the onlookers to a thrilling display of swordsmanship with cut, parry and thrust. So again, hard to picture. You can picture the duel, but a duel on horseback. But they were both expert horsemen and they were clanging of swords and the maneuver of the horses. Muslims and Romans held their breath. There was a pin drop silence. It was as if time itself had stood still. Thereafter, after a few minutes of vicious combat, Gregory suddenly drew back from his adversary, turned his horse and began to scatter away. Shouts of joy thereupon arose from the Muslim ranks at what appeared to be the defeat of the Roman general. However, there was no such reaction from Sayyidina Abu Ubaidah radiyallahu. So they fought intensely, and all of a sudden, Gregory, he looks like he's fleeing. And everybody from the Muslim side was calling out the takbir, but Abu Ubaidah wasn't responding radiyallahu. With his eyes fixed intently on the retreating Roman, he also urged his horse forward and gave chase. Gregory had hardly gone a few hundred paces when Sayyidina Abu Ubaidah radiyallahu caught up with him. Suddenly, subhanallah, Gregory, who had deliberately controlled the pace of his horse to allow Abu Ubaidah to overtake, turned abruptly and more swiftly and raised his sword to strike at the venerable commander. His apparent flight had thus been a ploy to throw his opponent off guard. So this was his plan. Give the impression that he's fleeing, but don't gallop too fast, allow the commander to join, and then at the critical moment, quick U-turn and hopefully catch the Muslim commander off guard. However, Sayyidina Abu Ubaidah radiyallahu, he was no novice. He knew more about swordplay than Gregory would ever learn. The Roman general raised his sword, but subhanallah, that is as far as he got. He was thereupon instantly struck at the base of the neck by Abu Ubaidah radiyallahu, and the sword fell from his hand as his huge body crashed to the ground. Subhanallah. So when he turned, Abu Ubaidah struck first and instant death. For a few moments, Abu Ubaidah, still on his horse, started taking some steps around, marveling at the enormous size of the Roman general because he was a warrior. So he's galloping, looking at him intently. Then subhanallah, leaving behind the bejeweled and gold-encrusted armor and weapons of the Roman, which he ignored with his habitual disregard for worldly possessions, the saintly general of paradise turned and rode back to the Muslim front, where he was warmly greeted by a roar of takbir from the blessed Muslim ranks. So why did he leave those spoils? Like you said, you're set for life. You know, you got the general's personal, you know, armor, whatever belongs to you. So there's an interesting report. It's recorded in Ibn Abi Dunya in his Kitab al-Shukr. And Isa alayhi salatu wasalam, he said, he posed this question to his companions, radiyallahu ta'ala. He said, there's a block of gold. One man sees it, he ignores it, he walks past. A second man sees it, takes it, and gives it in sadaqah. Who's better? So the companions, radiyallahu ta'ala anhum, they said, the one who took the gold and spent it, Ya Rasulullah, alayhi salatu wasalam. Isa alayhi salatu wasalam said no, the first. So think about that. This is a very interesting narration. Our beloved messenger sallallahu alayhi wasalam confirmed that. He was offered everything. Did he accept it? No. I want to be hungry one day and I want to thank you the next. Ibn Qayyim al-Jawziyya rahmatullah alayhi said in his work Uddatu al-Sabirin, book of patience and gratitude, Hafiz Ibn Qayyim said, there could be nobody who would have done more with the wealth of the world than Rasulullah. Yeah, he didn't take it. Now think about that. Now what's the secret there? The secret there is, this is the secret of Zuhd. A person who has nothing in his heart for the world, he's never at loss, he's always gained. So why have I mentioned this here? Abu, that's us, we brought ourselves up to the battlefield. I wouldn't have left the armor, you're not Abu Ubaidah. Right, so no, this is a high level of Iman, right? But it's pointed out by the scholars. So the way to look at it, it's like you've been given, you know, £1 million there waiting. It's yours, halal, take it. Not interested. Right, and he goes back, radiyallahu anhu. Sayyidina Khalid, radiyallahu anhu, upon seeing the blessed scene, and upon the return of Abu Ubaidah, radiyallahu anhu, now galloped to join the cavalry which had been positioned behind the core of Amr ibn al-As, the Muslim right wing. So just to reiterate, what did I mention yesterday? All of the screens of the four battalions have been combined into one cavalry. The mobile guard of Khalid, the 4,000 cavalry mobile guard, and all of the screen has combined to make 8,000 cavalry. Where are they positioned? Khalid has placed them behind the right wing. And who's the commander of the right wing? Amr ibn al-As. So he's got his own battalion. He's got 8,000 noble companions and tabi'een and certainly salt under the command of Khalid. As Khalid arrived, radiallahu anhu, he gave the signal for the general attack and the entire Muslim front surged forward. So there was no military tactics. All of the four battalions moved forward to engage. The Muslim centers and the left wing engaged their Roman counterparts but did not press their attack. For this was to keep them occupied whilst the full ferocity of the attack would be on the Muslim right wing. Are you with me? Right, so Shurahbils, he engages his wing, center right, but not heavily. Abu Ubaidah engages his central left wing, but not heavily. Yazid ibn Abu Sufyan engages his left wing, but not heavily. Why? Just keep him busy. The full attack is going to be on the right wing. The 8,000 Muslim cavalry galloped around to the side of the Roman left wing, which was facing the Muslim right wing. From here, Khalid dispatched a regiment to engage and hold the Roman cavalry of the left, their screen in front of their wing, and with the bulk of the rest of the Muslim cavalry, struck hard at the side of the Roman left wing, the Slavs, whilst at the same time Sayyidina Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhu assaulted their front with extreme force. So let's give you the image. So Amr, obviously, he just engages. Khalid, he sends a fraction of the cavalry to get rid of the wing, the cavalry screen of the Roman wing. So they were engaging them, keeping them busy. Amr ibn al-As now smashes into his counterpart wing. Khalid radiallahu anhu, he's maneuvered and he's smashed into the right with his cavalry. Are you with me? So Amr completely locking on, head on, and the cavalry of Khalid is now smashing into the right. So what's happened? The Slavs are being struck from two sides. The Slavs were stout fighters and for some time defended themselves courageously. but now no support from their cavalry, the screen who were now engaged, and assailed from the front and the side, they at last broke. So being attacked from two simultaneous sides, their wing has, their screen is gone. What could they do? Ultimately they broke. Recoiling from the blows of Khalid and Amr, they fell back into their left center with the Armenians, which corresponded with the Muslim right center of whom Shurahbil was in charge. So what happened? The entire wing which faced Amr's has now merged with the Shurahbil's counterpart. So the central right wing of Shurahbil, he is now facing not only his counterpart, but the entire wing has now merged because of the blows of Khalid and Amr. So their wing has collapsed, but collapsed into the third sector, as they say. Qanatir's Roman left wing thus now collapsed, and hence freed Amr's right wing completely, i.e. to help the central right wing of Shurahbil. So what's happened? If the wing has collapsed of the Romans, which battalion is completely free now? Amr. Amr ibn al-As. He's completely free. He's got nobody to engage. So what is now going to be done with the free wing of Amr radiallahu anhu? Sayyidina Amr radiallahu anhu thus now moved his freed right wing corps and swung it to the left, and smashed into the exposed left side of the Armenian left center. Coupled with this, there was also now considerable confusion within it due to the arrival of the Slavs from their collapsed wing. So they were completely now messed up. They got their own orders. The other wings joined. Not only has the other wing joined, the Amr's free wing smashed them from the sides. Shurahbil smashing them from the front. What was Khalid going to do? With this, whilst this was taking place, Khalid now moved his cavalry to help the regiment he had sent earlier to engage with the Roman cavalry left screen. So then the fraction that had detached to sort the screen out of the Romans, Khalid going to deal with them first. The second phase of the Muslim offensive began, with Sayyidina Shurahbil, the central right wing, now attacking with full force the Armenians, whilst Amr's corps was simultaneously smashing into it from the side. So this, you would, right? So Shurahbil's attacking straight his counterpart, Amr's entire battalion smashing to the same on the side. Sayyidina Khalid radiallahu anhu meanwhile had by now given the Roman cavalry of their left a severe thrashing, and thus they galloped away to the north and safety. They've had enough of battle. Like you say, they're heading for the hills. They go, see you later, right? He goes, wings are collapsed, screens gone. This is madness. So the cavalry, they've just legged it. At about the same time, when the Roman cavalry of the left had been driven away by Khalid, Vahan, the commander-in-chief of the Romans, he had by now concentrated the remainder of his cavalry, the entire screen of the remaining three corps, into one powerful mobile army, which he now positioned behind the Roman center to counter-attack and regain lost positions. So Vahan is now doing exactly the same as Khalid. So he's too late, obviously. So he's got these three screens left. He put them together. He goes, go behind the three remaining battalions of the Romans and try to make up for the damage that's been done. The sword of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was, however, one step ahead of them. And predicting this move, before the massed Roman cavalry could start any maneuver, it was also swiftly assaulted by the Muslim cavalry. So Khalid is just ripping into the screens. He doesn't want them to, you know, combine. The Romans fought gallantly, but in this type of fluid situation, the regular heavy cavalry was no match for the light, fast-moving horsemen of Khalid, who could strike, disengage, maneuver, and strike again. If you look at the Roman cavalry, it was heavily armored. it wasn't as lucid as the Muslim cavalry. So they're at a disadvantage. So Khalid's ripping into them. They can't hardly move fast enough away from him. At last, the Roman cavalry, seeing no other way of survival, also broke contact with their Christian Arab general Jabala, and they fled to the north, taking with them the commander-in-chief, Vahan. So what's happened? When the cavalry could not unite, headed for the hills. Who was their commander? One of the generals, and he was the Arab general called Jabala, a very interesting personality. He later embraced Islam in Umar's Khalifa. Right? He goes, see you later, right? He's gone. Vahan, he's supposed to be the commander-in-chief. You're supposed to die with your soldiers. He joins them. He goes, see you later. He goes, defeat. Duly noted, it must be stated that in the essential cavalry action of the 6th day, there was mysteriously no sign of Sayyidina Dirar. So Dirar, you know, he was missing. You know, one of the right-hand men of Khalid. Why? Where is he? Because nobody's spotting him. The believers missed the familiar sight of the half-naked warrior in the kind of battle which he would have reveled. They simply did not know where he was, and Khalid would not tell anybody. Meanwhile, Shurahbil's center was happening. The Armenians facing Shurahbil's central right corps were still stoutly resisting Amr and Shurahbil's attempts to crush them. So the Armenians were the most warlike. So they're getting smashed by Shurahbil, getting smashed by the side by Amr's battalion. They're still resisting. The two Muslim corps had made some headway, but not much. And this is understandable, for the Armenians, whom their king Vahan had abandoned, were very brave fighters indeed. So think about that. He even abandoned his own battalion. And how do we know they were very brave fighters? The noted historian Edward Gibbon, he had written in his famous Decline and Fall of the Roman Empire, this is quote, the Armenians were the most warlike subjects of Rome. So somebody goes to you, who were the elite battalions of the Romans? It was the Armenians. Their kings liked it. So they're still getting smashed and they're still holding on, so it makes sense. It was at this stage that Sayyidina Khalid, having driven the Roman cavalry from the battlefield, now turned his attention on the Armenians and thus charged at them and smashed into their rear. Thus the Armenians were now being attacked from the front by Sayyidina Shurahbil's corps, from the right by Sayyidina Amr's corps, and from the rear by the combined cavalry of Sayyidina Khalid. In the face of this three-pronged attack, the brave Armenians could do nothing but disintegrate. And those who could managed to escape the onslaught. And there was no like cowardice in this. They were, you know, you're completely surrounded. Smash, Khuda Hafiz. Khalid, interestingly, did not pursue the escaping Armenians. He just let them go. As the central left wing of the Armenians collapsed, the remaining two Roman armies, their center right and right corps, realized the hopelessness of their situation, for their sides and rear were also now completely exposed. Consequently, they began to make a neat withdrawal. Here again, the Roman movement was not intercepted by Khalid. However, the Muslim cavalry did move to the north of the Roman army so that none may escape in that direction. So they're retreating. And Khalid is not pushing. He let them retreat. But he's blocked off one particular direction. Allahu Akbar. The believing forces thus now closed in on the already doomed once proud army of the mighty Caesar. So now, to add this to finish. Before moving on, it is certainly worth mentioning that the historian Gibbon attributed the Romans' defeat due to Khalid's exploitation of a violent sandstorm which blew in the faces of the Romans. So think about that. Edward Gibbon, what happened at Yarmouk? He goes, nature was on the side of the Muslims. Nature? What nature? Because there was suddenly, just came out of nowhere, a violent sandstorm. And the Arabs knew how to use it to their advantage. So how do we know this is absolute gibberish? Subhanallah, no Muslim historian has ever mentioned anything about this fabled sandstorm. Thus, this is nothing but a proud Western historian's attempt to find a justifiable excuse for the Roman defeat. So think about that. You know, instead of saying the better general won, you know, every dog has his day, you know, these lines that they keep coming out with. They got so much pride. No. What happened? It was just luck. Just luck. On the sixth day. You know, subhanAllah. And inshallah, we will continue from here tomorrow. So all I mentioned today was the fateful sixth day of the raging conflagration. And notice the genius of Khalid radiallahu anhu, how he dealt with them. And like I mentioned, he could have done this on day one. But you need to know the strength of your enemy. And he probed them for 4 days. Fifth day, he was waiting for their weakness. They came, and then he put the plan into execution. And who was also right in the thick and thin of all this? Sayyidina Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhu. Right? He was on the right wing, he did his bit. Then he started helping Shurahbil's wing by smashing into the left side of the Romans. And then Khalid obviously disintegrated all of them. And then the remaining two wings, I'll mention tomorrow why he didn't pursue them when they were retreating. And there was a reason for that. Are there any questions you'd like to ask? سبحان الله بحمده سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والعصر ان الانسان لفي خسر الذين امنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر صدق الله العظيم